please stand for a moment of silence? Thank you. Please sit down. We have technical difficulties.
Yeah, we do.
What do you mean we do? Pledge of Allegiance.
Thank you.
Yes, that, yeah. It's all right. I just look on the name from there.
It's got, well, I think the color guard. Yeah, but color guard. Oh, I hope we have that.
I didn't know if I'd seen
color. I heard you, yeah.
Someone's what?
Yeah, I was going to say you were, but I'm not going to be at you. Yeah, no. I was just going to say.
Don't worry about the battery going out.
You're better. You just.
It's not the default, you know?
We get older.
It's a wait for that. But it's more than that. Okay. This meeting will come to order. Please stand for a moment of silence. Thank you. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Mr. Cartier?
Here.
Ms. Diller?
Here.
Ms. Hartley-Nagel?
Here.
Mr. Hollins?
Here.
Ms. Kilpatrick?
Here.
Mr. Powers?
Here.
Mr. Sheldon?
Here.
Mr. Smiley?
Here.
Mr. Street?
Here.
Mr. Tackett?
Here.
Mr. Weiner?
Here.
Mr. Good?
Here.
I'm present at all four of you.
Thank you. I would like to introduce the following elected officials. Please stand when I call your name. Ken Balding, Clerk of the Peace. Mike Kozakowski, Recorder of Deeds. Cyril Papity, Register of Wills. Hanifa Shabazz, President of Wilmington City Council. And Sam Pratcher, Sheriff. I would now like to ask President Pro Tem Penrose Hollins and Councilman David Tackett to escort County Executive Matthew Meyer into Council Chambers for his budget address.
clicker.
Thank you, Mr. Minor. And do we have a clicker?
Do we have a clicker? Thanks.
Next budget.
That's it, cuts. Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
As I began, I wanted to highlight something I've noticed over the past year during the campaign and during my first 84 days as county executive. When we're here tonight, and actually every minute of every day, when we're at work, when we're enjoying our lives with family and friends, when we're sleeping at night, there are actually hundreds of first responders, police officers, paramedics, 911 operators, and firefighters who are on the ready to serve as our first line of defense against harm. They do, in so many ways, the opposite of what we're taught as kids. When someone drives too fast or pulls a knife or pulls a gun, I was taught to run in the opposite direction. But our first responders run towards the harm, and we are all safer because of it. So I wanted to take a minute to recognize one of the finest heroes among us here in Newcastle County. On September 24th, Brad Speakman and his colleagues ran into a row home engulfed in flames beside Canby Park, attempting to save the life of their colleague, Captain Christopher Leach. Captain Leach, Lieutenant Jerry Fickus, and Lieutenant Artie Hope lost their lives. And Brad Speakman, who is here tonight, sacrificed for us. He spent the next 6 weeks in the hospital undergoing countless surgeries as we prayed for his health and the health of Artie Hope. In addition to serving as a Wilmington firefighter, Brad previously served as the rescue captain, first assistant chief, deputy chief, and fire chief for the Port Penn Volunteer Fire Company. Brad, please stand. Brad, your sacrifice and the tremendous sacrifice of your wife, Lauren, your two children, to keep us all safe is really a model for all of us across the county, from Washington to Port Penn. We honor you and the memories of Captain Leach, Lieutenant Fickus, and Lieutenant Hope tonight. A budget's about community priorities, and nothing represents those priorities more than your service and the service of your colleagues. I also wanted to pause tonight and recognize those first responders who are on the front lines in assisting heroin and opioid victims. This is truly at epidemic levels, and anyone who's just seen the news the past couple days know it keeps getting worse. We've already administered, since I came into office, we've administered Narcan 243 times in 84 days. And that saves lives in a challenging budgetary environment. We will continue to look for innovative ways to turn the tide on this national epidemic. These and other important services Newcastle County provides to its citizens are what bring us here tonight. Thank you, Council President Hartley Nagel, President Pro Tem Hollins, and each of the county council members for welcoming me into your chambers. Tonight we propose a $284 million operating budget for fiscal year 2018. And a $35 million capital budget, including a $195 million general fund budget, a $78.6 million sewer fund budget, a $15.3 million general fund capital budget, and a $20.1 million sewer fund capital budget. When we assumed office 84 days ago, these are the numbers we were given. This is all based on January 30th. 2017. As you can see in the yellow bar at the bottom, we were looking at a $5.2 million operating deficit this fiscal year, a projected $12.9 million operating deficit next fiscal year, and operating deficits that grew well over $20 million annually 2 and 3 years from now. We were handed a situation where expenditures are exceeding revenues, and based on current obligations over the next 3 years will continue to do so. There are two large reasons for this. One is unsustainable debt arrangements. We've been paying back our debt on an interest-only basis. That creates balloon payments in future years. With a AAA bond rating and sound budgetary practices, paying interest only simply makes no sense. Also, employment contracts agreed to in August 2016 to recognize the work of our fine employees have given rise to salary and benefit expenditures that far outpace our revenues. We were handed a situation where the county last year signed contracts without any plan as to how to pay for them. And now we need to figure out how we're going to pay for them. We have a reserve fund. Our cash savings accrued from taxes over decades. We had $57 million in this fund a little over 4 years ago, and it's now been depleted by about $25 million. The consequence is this reserve will go to zero within a couple of years unless we change course. You know, for years we've been spending more than we've been taking in as revenue. I can't do that in my house. None of our constituents can do that. Spend more than you make. So we cannot do that as a government. When we assumed office 84 days ago, these are the numbers we were given. And we, councilwomen, councilmen, and I, must vow right here, right now, not to hand our successors a situation like this. Let's be responsible, let's fix this, and let's get it right. It takes making some hard decisions. Tonight, I'll show you how we've already reduced spending in our first 84 days by $5.2 million for fiscal year 2018, and how we've done so in a manner that we believe does not significantly change any county services. If you look at our proposed expenditures for fiscal year 2018, we're proposing a $284 million budget, including $195 million of general fund spending. The majority of our spending is on our people, as it should be. There are some extraordinary county employees that provide the highest quality service to county residents. And we as citizens need to pay for that high quality service. So we're facing two problems as we begin to look at what we want our fiscal year 2018 budget to be. One is the structural deficit. Our expenditures are exceeding our revenues, and it's getting worse over time. It's simply not sustainable. Second is the high level of non-discretionary spending. Nearly 88% of our expenses are non-discretionary, locked into salaries and benefits and debt service. As my CFO, Brian Maxwell, likes to say, the red Pac-Man is eating the blue pie, and that's not a good thing. We need to address both of these structural problems, and we begin to do so in the budget proposal tonight. You know, when I have tough decisions in my life, I take a look in the mirror and I say, who am I? Who are we? And that'll help guide us as we try to get out of this. First is we got to live within our means. We cannot simply give salary increases, purchase vehicles, and watch our health care costs increase without knowing how we're going to pay for it. A few months ago, the general manager of community services at the time, Sophia Hansen, had an idea. There are hundreds of prom and wedding dresses that are worn once and then never again. And there are hundreds of families here in Newcastle County each year searching for their bargain prom and wedding dresses. I've heard countless stories of girls unable to go to the prom because they simply don't have the money for a prom dress, led by county employees Kim Toll, Latoya Rodriguez, Tanya Moye, Marlene Esposito. Premier was created. Last month, we gave away over 100 prom dresses. Prom dresses that were donated from residents across the county. You know, I think as we start looking at our budget, we can learn a little something from Jaylin DeJesus. Jaylin is a senior at St. George's Tech, headed to college next year, and she's here tonight. Jaylin, would you stand up, please? Just a couple months ago, Jaylin found her dream prom dress online, and her mom was ready to pay $500 for it to make her daughter happy. But Jaylin felt like her family didn't really have the money to pay. So she told her mom she'd rather find her prom dress through Premier. Last I saw Jaylin at the Garfield Powell, she was having an awful hard time choosing between our two favorite purple Premier dresses. Second is we need to be responsible with our credit card. We go to the bond market and borrow tens of millions of dollars, and we pay for it over the next 20 to 30 years. I can't go max out my credit card without figuring out how to pay the bill, and we should not do so either. Third is we need to approach local governance in an honest, transparent, and efficient manner. We've already taken steps to provide higher quality, honest, and transparent governance to the people of Newcastle County. And I appreciate that senior leadership across county government and numerous county council members have embraced this vision to move our local county government forward. Fourth is we need to collaborate for improved government service. We are very fortunate to have an incredibly strong fleet of row officers, Recorder of Deeds Mike Kazakowski, Sheriff Sam Pratcher, Register Will Sierra Popperty, and Clerk of the Peace Ken Bolden. People don't realize they generate tremendous value for our county. They're meticulous about their budgets and generate a return for county residents. We thank you for our excellent work for our county. We also are looking for ways all the time to collaborate with federal, state, and local governments as well as the private sector to create value for residents across our county. Patricia Benton, please stand. Patricia Benton spent decades as a... Patricia spent decades as a civil servant and dedicated her career to public service. The state and county government collaborated with Interfaith Housing and Habitat for Humanity on the Strong Neighborhood Housing Fund. We received $1.84 million over the course of the last few years from the state government for this initiative. It makes neighborhoods stronger, and it also enabled Ms. Benton to purchase her first home. Just yesterday, Tanisha Merced in the legal department, Tamara Morris, my head of economic development, Rich Hall, the general manager of land use, and I met with Patricia Cannon from the state economic development office. And together we agreed with Del Monte Fresh Produce, the leading global fruit producer, to create at least 300 jobs in Newark. Over the next 12 to 18 months, they are creating their largest distribution facility in the country right here in Newcastle County. They're retrofitting an old Christiana School District building. And that likely would not have been possible with the strong state and county economic development cooperation. You know, we live in extraordinary competitive times. Cities and counties and states and countries are all in competition with each other. And there's no smarter economic policy we have than harnessing talent right here in Newcastle County. Tej Vadi is a senior at Tower Hill, and Ryan Cleary is a sophomore at University of Delaware. They're still in school, but they've actually developed a simple test for sickle cell disease that experts say is a market-leading test. It has the potential to save tens of thousands of lives in the poorest regions of our planet. Would Tej and Ryan please stand? Thank you. You know, as so many across our county are looking for jobs, Ted and Ryan are putting their minds to work and creating them, and that creates opportunities for others to potentially work for them. It's only through investments in such innovation that we can compete in this highly competitive global market. 6 weeks ago, we looked at a $5.2 million deficit for this fiscal year, and we immediately put in place five cost containment measures. An intensive hiring review, we suspended overtime, we suspended discretionary out-of-state travel, we suspended payments in lieu of vacation for active employees, and we reduced spending in my own office. There are also several initiatives I'm announcing tonight to manage our fiscal year 2018 budget in line with these priorities. First is starting next month, we're going to initiate a performance review of county government. At zero cost to the county taxpayers, seasoned professionals who've done such performance reviews at state and local governments in Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, and Washington, D.C., will study and evaluate the efficiency of each major function of county government. The goal of this exercise is to generate greater value for the county taxpayer. We're also announcing tonight our support of a council initiative, a county council initiative, to save up to $5 million annually through a modification of procurement practices. You know, apprenticeship programs are very important in creating job opportunities for trades. We need to do whatever we can to encourage and support apprenticeship classes right here in New Castle County. In a time when so many are seeking quality job opportunities, those looking for work should be able to get quality job training and then work on county contracts. In 2006, with that in mind, an apprenticeship requirement was put in place for county contractors for bids over $100,000. Unfortunately, because of the limited availability of apprenticeship classes in Delaware, the county is often forced to contract out of state to meet its own apprenticeship requirements. If we want to do something as simple as put a roof on a county library, for example, we almost always are forced to choose out-of-state contractors, though there are many high-quality, well-trained roofers creating jobs right here in New Castle County. There's a lot of misinformation being circulated about this effort, about this proposed modification to our apprenticeship requirement. So I wanted to be clear about what the facts are and act in a way that benefits taxpayers and creates jobs here in New Castle County. Quite frankly, when I look at the budget and how our economy is doing, our economy really needs the money and our county trades really need the work. This apprenticeship requirement has sent $31 million of county contracts out of state in the past 10 years. Our own apprenticeship requirement. This requirement has hurt local businesses, small businesses, and women and minority-owned businesses. The modification proposed by Councilman Hollins, Smiley, and Powers keeps the apprenticeship program, the existing apprenticeship program, in place with amendments that enable it to work more efficiently. It will generate about $3 million annually of increased work for local contractors and will save county taxpayers $2 to $5 million. We're also announcing tonight a good government package spearheaded by Councilwoman Kilpatrick and Councilman Smiley that will expand at the anti-nepotism rules. It will prevent me from making lame duck political appointments and future county executives, not just me, and provide additional oversight of county investments. We want our county cash managed in the same manner the state manages their cash, in the same high-quality way. In this regard, we also want to hear from you about our proposed fiscal year 2018 budget. This Thursday at 7 p.m. on the New Castle County Facebook page, we'll be holding our second Facebook town hall, and we invite everyone here and all your friends and neighbors to come online and give us your viewpoint directly on the budget we are discussing tonight. In challenging fiscal times, we need to continue investing in public safety. We're very lucky to have an innovative, progressive police force, and there are a number of things we're doing tonight to continue to invest in that innovation. The Wave panic button has been instrumental in providing a rapid response to the Jewish Community Center following recent hate-filled calls. We are looking to expand it to schools and other community institutions. It enables our police force to have direct communication. It's like they're on site with the push of a button. We anticipate our investment in DNA technologies will enable us to solve crime faster and cheaper. It enables us to get DNA rather than in months. It takes a matter of an hour. That will help us solve crime faster. We've partnered with the federal government in this effort, and all of us owe a big thank you to Chief Vaughn Bond, Major Wendy Fieser, and the forward-looking leadership of the police department, as well as to Councilman Valen Street. We're on track to open in less than 6 months our most ambitious and extensive library in New Castle County history, the Route 9 Innovation Center. The building is vitally important, and we're designing a broad range of services in collaboration with the local school district and with local business to increase educational attainment and workforce development. This will be an extraordinary model of intergovernmental collaboration and public-private partnerships, and it's important to note that we all owe Councilman Street a thank you for his unceasing attention to every detail of the Route 9 Innovation Center. All right, so I'm a math teacher, so this is the fun part. Quick math overview of the budget. Let's start with the general fund. We have the general fund, we have the sewer fund, and we have the capital budget. Rather than throwing a bunch of numbers at you, I want to take you step by step through the money we're receiving and how we're coming to the expenses that we intend to spend in this next year. We forecast total revenues of $191.9 million. That's the fourth line down. And last year, we budgeted in fiscal year 2017, the current year, we had budgeted $188.2 million for this current year. When we initially took a look at the budgets we received from various departments of the government for fiscal year 18, we found increased costs of $17.6 million. That's the fiscal year 2018 cost drivers. So when you put that together, our base budget shows a structural deficit, spending $13.9 million more than we project to receive. Now, much of that $17.6 million is personnel. Increased salaries and benefits we spoke about from contracts agreed to initially in August 2016, as well as debt service. As I mentioned, there are also strategic investments in public safety to add new technology and community services to bring the Route 9 Innovation Center online, and the creation of additional summer jobs for youth, and also to address workers' compensation and other expenses. So we took our 2017 expenses, added in our 2018 cost drivers, and then we looked to reduce our spending efficiently in a manner that's sustainable and, we hoped, unrecognizable to most county residents. Any dollar of spending we reduce is meaningful, and we're working to slim down our spending in a manner that does not decrease service. And you can see here the $5.2 million in spending reductions, from reduced personnel cost to reduced vehicle purchases to eliminating over $400,000 in outside contracts. Much of this information is in the appendix of the budget that we've handed out. The sewer fund. Our goal with our sewer fund is to actually separate it out and treat it financially as a separate utility. We need to continue investing in our sewer infrastructure, and if those expenses cause our sewer reserves to dip dangerously low, we must provide a mechanism to increase fees by formula. For fiscal year 2017, we are projecting a $7.3 million operating deficit in our sewer fund. We make up that operating deficit through $3 million from the sewer rate stabilization reserve and about $4.2 million in capital recovery fees, as well as another $130,000 of cuts. Onto the capital budget. We fund the capital budget by going to the bond market, and it's debt that we pay out over 20 to 30 years. And we've dramatically cut the authorizations in our capital budget from $55 million this year to $35 million that we're proposing tonight for fiscal year 2018. All of the projects authorized in this budget are in the appendix. We nearly cut this budget in half. And we did so not by canceling projects, but by focusing on investments and core functions for our fiscal year 2018 budget, and then deferring other non-core functions to later years. We're focused on our county's core functions, such as rehabilitating aged sewer and stormwater infrastructure that's often subject to federal law and federal mandates, and deferring expenditures until funding is absolutely necessary, while still ensuring that we meet our legal obligations. Simply said, we can't keep putting large numbers on the credit card as we use increased amount of tax revenues each year to pay our debt. So we're trying to reduce it as much as we can. You know, a couple months ago, a concerned friend contacted us, contacted our police department, about a county resident who was ill and had fallen on hard times. Newcastle County Police Department Officer First Class John Rose responded. He checked on the resident during one of our coldest winter days. He found the elderly woman using her oven and a small heater to keep warm. An oven and a small heater, an elderly woman right here in our county. Officer Rose called several oil companies right away. He wanted a delivery of heating oil to help her out. No one could deliver as fast as the officer wanted. So he got in his car and he went to Lowe's. He took the money out of his pocket and he bought the heaters for the woman himself. Officer Rose never reported this act of kindness to his superiors. It makes us all in my office wonder how much of this is going on across our county every single day. We found out because the resident wrote a letter to the police department that we read. I consider myself fortunate to serve among employees like Officer John Rose. John, would you stand up, please? So in closing, budgets are statements of priorities. And tonight we propose a budget which we live within our means, we govern honestly and collaboratively, and we continue to invest intelligently in our future. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, Mr. Meyer.
Thank you, Madam President.
Okay. Ready, Mr. Tackett to escort out, and Mr. Hollins?
Can you talk out?
Thank you. Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The meeting is adjourned.